Welcome to CERT's podcast series, Security for Business Leaders. The CERT program is part of the Software Engineering Institute, a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us at CERT.org. Show notes for today's conversation are available at the podcast website. My name is Julia Allen. I'm a senior researcher at CERT working on operational resilience and software assurance. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Chris Rush, a member of CERT's forensics team. As a side note, we've posted two previous podcasts on forensics that you might want to listen in on to get a little background. And today, Chris and I will be discussing a new forensics and incident response track that Chris and his colleagues are now offering through Carnegie Mellon's Information Networking Institute. It has become part of the Masters of Science in Information Networking degree program, so we're going to be talking about that today. So welcome back, Chris. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks. It's glad to be here.
So why did CERT decide? I mean, you guys have been working in the forensics area for some time now, but why did you decide that now was a good time for kind of codifying everything that you've learned and experienced into a graduate-level curriculum in forensics, and maybe just a little bit about how you went about developing the curriculum?
Sure. Well, you know, we've been doing this for about the past 5 years. Sort of started out, you know, a little slow. A few staff members here at Carnegie Mellon and CERT focused on the forensics mission, primarily with sort of the outreach and development of some educational modules for the customers we had. And then eventually that transitioned into us being called on to help both law enforcement and the federal government with solving some of their more difficult forensics challenges. And so that's sort of how our mission has expanded. And we're continually being called upon to provide expertise in some of the more challenging areas and to solve some of the new problems that investigators are coming across as they sort of pursue investigations. And so where that really led us was with one of our missions being outreach and education, in addition to this operational support, was that we realized that there wasn't a great central place for people to get this education. And we realized that Carnegie Mellon, being a fabulous technical school, that it only made sense for us to make some effort to provide a program where, after completing it, students would have the ability to, you know, perform forensic investigations from either a law enforcement perspective or whether or not they were integrated into an enterprise or a business. And so we've really decided to take some of the lessons learned, just the general lessons learned, as well as some of the harder problems that we've encountered over the past several years, and to transition that into coursework that the students could take away some actual concrete skills that they could apply in a job beyond education.
So I, you know, if I was going to be a student, first of all, what would you describe as kind of the ideal background coming into this curriculum, and when a student comes out the other end, what might they be able to do?
Well, you know, there seems to be a lot of students that are attracted to the forensics field, both students and professionals, and we find that there is no sort of single common background other than a general interest in computers. I think that, you know, the curiosity about computers is what really sort of drives people towards forensics. And so typically, most of the students will have somewhat of a computer background with varying degrees of technical capability. So some people may have more of a network management, a enterprise management slant to their past experience, while others are more oriented with programming and some of the more technical tasks in that regard. And so what these people get out of it are sort of different based on how they come into the program. What everybody walks away with is a general understanding of the fundamentals of computer forensics and what it means to be a forensic investigator or a forensic analyst, and to actually take forensic casework on or investigations on, and to do a good, thorough job and find all the information there is to find. Where it really differs with what they leave with is the program is structured in a way that students can sort of tailor the outcome to their own abilities. Beyond the core fundamentals, people with a more technical expertise and more defined technical interest may walk away with the ability to actually develop new tools, to develop new techniques, and to actually begin furthering the field of computer forensics. And that's the sort of people that we actually really like to see come out of here, because we know at the end of that student's time here at Carnegie Mellon that we've had an impact on them and that potentially they will have an impact on the forensic community. And the other students, which walk away with equally useful skills, are ones which may not want to go into the deep technical of programming new tools or actually tackling new, really difficult challenges in the field of forensics, but walk away with a complete understanding of how to conduct a forensic investigation down at, you know, sort of the disk level without tools. And that's a really concrete, hard-to-learn skill as well.
Well, you know, I'd like to drill down a little bit into some of the course curriculum and so our listeners can have a better appreciation of some of the details that you and your colleagues have put together. So from the Carnegie Mellon Information Networking Institute website, at least I was able to find five courses in the track. And so what are those five, if you would just briefly introduce them, and then we can talk about each one in a little more detail?
Sure. So you're right. Right now there are five, and the idea behind that is we established five which would form sort of the core curriculum of the program. And beyond that, we would ideally be adding smaller special topic courses that would sort of supplement some of the more robust and difficult challenges that you can't really tackle while you're also tackling 12 other things through the course of a single class. So the five that we've currently got on offer are host-based forensics, a follow-on to that, which would be advanced host-based forensic analysis. Then we move into the network field. So we've got a network forensics course, an advanced network analysis course, and then finally we're offering an event reconstruction and correlation course.
Okay, so why don't we start at the top. In the host-based forensics, both the introductory and the advanced, what are some of the dimensions, problems, course projects, the kind of things that students will be exposed to and have to dig into?
Sure. Well, the host-based forensics class is really at the highest level exactly what it sounds like. These are centered around challenges and skills required to perform a forensic investigation on a single host, whether that be looking for information that was, you know, inappropriately accessed, whether that's a machine that's compromised as a result of malware or some other form of computer attack. There can be a lot of reasons why one might want to undertake a specifically host-based analysis. You know, in a more corporate environment, this sort of could fall along the lines of e-discovery or understanding sort of what files existed on a computer. As far as what the course specifically looks at, it really is sort of a soup-to-nuts look at what is required to conduct a host-based analysis. And so that goes into everything from the planning of what's required to conduct that investigation, what pieces of evidence you need, how you want to go about acquiring that evidence, all the sort of planning phases around that, what you do with the evidence once you have it, how you keep it clean and secure and make sure you're working with appropriate copies. We look at acquisition challenges. So there's your standard sort of how do we acquire a forensic image of a disk coming out of a computer through some of the more difficult challenges that one might face in trying to acquire a forensically sound image of a computer. One of the bigger chunks is spent on the actual analysis. So we're looking at computers and what's resident on the disk for pieces of evidence that may support either a law enforcement investigation or that would support some action to be taken by an enterprise or a business. Like I said, this could be a lot of things. Sort of in the law enforcement realm, you'd be looking for things that were, you know, sort of contraband-like material, whether that be illicit images or credit card numbers, find evidence of types of malicious code living on a machine that may have been developed there, things along this line. As well as other standard evidence, proof of identity theft, proof of access to confidential information belonging to an organization, all things of this type. And then we really go into the reporting because we feel that, you know, even if you've got the technical skills, one of the key requirements of this is that you be able to convey what it is you found in a forensic investigation to someone who may not be as technical as you or as technical as your colleagues, so that they can understand what it is that you found and how that relates to the investigation at hand.
Do you find in particular course, and probably in the network course as well, do you teach students how to interface with law enforcement. So if you're a network or system administrator and you're involved in a forensics investigation is one of the dimensions of the course. You know, where does the organizational role and responsibility dovetail or integrate with that of law enforcement if you're actually going to get law enforcement involved? Do you get into that?
We spend a fair amount of time in one of the prerequisite courses, which is Applied Information Assurance, which is sort of the precursor to all of these courses, discussing sort of the legal framework for computer forensics. That would, you know, entail, you know, the capturing of logs, the capturing of network traffic, how to handle specific events, when it may be appropriate to involve law enforcement. So, we certainly do spend some time with a focus on that. You know, a lot of our work is in the law enforcement arena, but we really try to formulate a course that is rather agnostic to sort of the terminology or the handling of data and evidence. But yes, students do walk away with a sense of when it would be appropriate to involve law enforcement, how to maintain the value of evidence and the integrity of evidence if you think you might be turning it over to law enforcement, things of that nature.
Right. And what about the advanced course that's the companion to host-based forensics? I know you get into special topics there. Are there some particular ones you'd like to highlight?
Well, you know, the advanced course is really an opportunity for us to highlight and to teach and convey some of the more unique challenges. And the idea behind the advanced host-based class is that we'll change this, you know, every so often as new challenges come on the scene and as we're able to present new ways to tackle those. For instance, some of the things that we've been looking at currently in the advanced classes involve things like data carving, manual data carving. A lot of people will rely on tools and whatnot to do data carving and to find elements of files that may exist in deleted space on a disk. This is an opportunity for students to spend, you know, a fair amount of time in real-world scenarios actually carving up disk and piecing back together elements of files that have been found in unallocated sectors. Some of the other interesting stuff that we're looking at is small-scale digital devices. You know, a lot of traditional digital forensics is focused on either cell phones in particular or actual computers. Well, as I'm sure you're very much aware, you know, a lot of the things that we deal with in this day and age really contain computers or elements of computers, and data is stored in a lot of different ways across a lot of different devices. And so one of the challenges that we're presenting in the advanced course is what are some of the devices that may yield potentially useful forensic evidence? How do we get it? Is there work previously done, you know, in this field, say something like GPS devices? What work has been done, and are there ways that we can create new tools or new techniques to get even better information out of these types of devices?
Boy, you know, and I would imagine that also the advanced course on both the host and network side, as you said, give you an opportunity that if there's some trend line or some new tooling or new form of investigation or some new attack strategy, that the advanced courses provide an opportunity to keep the students fresh, right?
Exactly, and then that's sort of why we created some of the advanced courses and why we'll create some of the other courses is because, you know, it's very difficult to sort of have a fluid semester-long course that deals very much in fundamentals. And so while we can bring up those topics in those courses, it's really difficult to sort of present to students, you know, really in-depth challenges that involve quite a bit of concentration without having sort of these special topic courses.
So, Chris, let's move on to the network forensics and its companion advanced course. What kinds of topics and techniques and approaches might students be exposed to in the network forensics course?
Sure. Well, the general network forensics course concentrates on actually several topics, some which may not seemingly be tied directly to network forensics. We look at the ones that you'd expect to see, like collection of network evidence and the analysis of evidence associated with any sort of network forensic event. We're looking at things like NetFlow for statistical analysis to identify behavioral characteristics of traffic, as well as deep packet inspection to understand the actual behavior of any given session and understand what, say, an attacker or an individual is trying to do across the network. Another thing that we've sort of found seemed necessary in this track was to actually look at malware analysis. Very rarely does a piece of malware not rely on the network. And there's a lot of information that can be gleaned by performing both static and dynamic analysis of malware in order to sort of figure out what the intent of the malware was, what effect it may have had on your network, What can you go back and look at in terms of logs to see any other anomalous behavior that you may have expected? And from a law enforcement perspective, it can really lead you to sort of that next hop. So outside of your organization, where did that attacker come from, or where did that piece of information that was exfiltrated go? And so that's one of the important things that we felt was critical to highlight. And then we sort of also look at, you know, some of the more standard stuff you might expect to see, you know, like how do you actually capture the data off the network, and what the implications of various collection methods might have on the types of data that you'll collect from different types of collection.
Well, what if you don't have access to the network, though? So as you're well aware, you know, these these attacks and scenarios and incidents can be global in their nature. So how do you teach students to deal with the fact that key parts of the transaction that resulted in the forensics investigation may be missing?
Sure, and so this is actually one of the areas where potentially, if you look at it through sort of a corporate lens versus a law enforcement lens, your ability to affect this process may be different. So in a law enforcement perspective, you know, you have more ability to reach out to other vendors, other providers, even potentially to other nations, and potentially try to track down those involved in a potential computer crime. And so your scope there tends to be much larger. From a corporate perspective, we realize that these are challenges that they do face and that they do not have access just as though law enforcement would. And so what we still try to teach, though, is that if you're looking at a corporate case or if you're looking at a business that calls a law enforcement agency and has a concern, there's a lot that can be gleaned even from network traffic collected on your own network. You know, a lot of malware relies on the network to either continue attacks, to further attacks, to spread, or to exfiltrate data. And so by looking at the network for these types of behaviors, you can glean a lot of information about your investigation, including things like what was trying to be exfiltrated, what sort of services were being exploited, were they actually successful? Is it potentially a case where we have other incidents of this malware running on other machines across our network or across our enterprise? So there are a lot of instances where, even though you don't have access to sort of that global set of data or even the ability to reach out to it, you can still glean a lot of information.
Excellent. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you. And obviously there's a companion advanced course that goes with the network side as well. So what are some of the special topics that you're kicking around or showing up in the content for the advanced course?
Sure. So this one really does differ a little bit from the original network forensics course. This course is really focused on dealing with traffic across large networks. You know, one of our understanding is that a lot of people that leave, you know, Carnegie Mellon with this specialty degree aren't going to be law enforcement. They're going to be working in business environments. And as such, typically in these cases, you're not just a forensic investigator. You're also looking at network traffic. You're handling incidents across, you know, networks. And we thought that it would be critical to actually give people some skills so that they could conduct these activities and have experience in doing this. So some of the stuff that we're looking at in this course is like I said, large network traffic collection and aggregation, large-scale analysis of network and packet data for, you know, any sort of anomalous behavior or potentially malicious activity. So not just from a single investigative perspective looking at a series of sessions related to an attack, but when you're tasked with looking at network across a large organization or enterprise, how do you identify those specific anomalous events, or how do you find things that may be malicious and need further investigation? And that's really where this course differs from the general network forensics course.
So the last course of the five, at least as you currently have it constructed, is called Event Reconstruction and Correlation, which obviously by its nature is putting data together. So what kinds of things do you introduce students to in that particular course?
So event reconstruction is really one of the essential elements to the program. Its aim really is to enable students to sort of conduct a soup-to-nuts complete forensic investigation. And this one's a mixture of both lab and lecture, and it gives the students the actual opportunity to tie together a lot of the components from the other courses into an actual full-scale investigation. So this is really their chance to sort of figure out in their own way how to combine these multiple facets of digital forensics and, you know, draw a single conclusion regarding an event or a law enforcement case.
So do you actually, I assume then you actually give them cases and they work on small teams and have to present the results of their efforts?
Yes, we're currently working on building examples and scenarios of cases that we actually have familiarity with, and some of the more advanced and difficult cases, which recreating those in a full scale is often a very difficult task. But we're trying to present to them an array of a myriad of evidence that they would have to deal with, mixed in with pieces of evidence that aren't that important, and having them actually conduct full investigations or several full investigations over the course of a half a semester.
Excellent. So I know this is the first year that you and your colleagues have been offering the curriculum. So what are some early indicators that you're seeing in terms of student response, feedback, success? Any early results that you'd like to share with us?
You know, like I said, this originally sort of got its roots in the Applied Information Assurance course, which I believe has been taught for about 4 years now by several of our colleagues. And we realized through that course, which was a very unique at the time, blend of lecture and actual hands-on labs. And we saw that there was a real strong need for those types of courses. Because, you know, a lot of times at this level in education, students are very much introduced to concepts, but they're not introduced to practical application of those concepts. And that tends to be a problem. You know, these people are not going out and writing white papers. They're actually going out and controlling networks, and they're responsible for security of large enterprises or for handling massive incidents. And we found it to be a really critical thing that when they go out there into the world and are tasked with these things, that they have some insight as to how to do these things. And so based on the success of that course and the number of students that we saw taking it, we realized that not only from an information assurance perspective, but from a forensics and investigative perspective, students would really appreciate the ability to both be introduced to the concepts, which is sort of the standard, typical type of education students get at the master's level, but to walk away also with concrete skills that they could apply and they could, you know, put on their resumes and walk out the door and be immediately applicable in the field. And so, so far what we've seen is students are very pleased. I think students are surprised sometimes with the level of breadth and both the depth as well in the curriculum, as well as the standards, you know, to which they're held to. These students are, you know, at the concept level, you can write a paper and sort of eke your way by, but these are things where students are expected to, you know, deliver actual results and to solve actual problems. And in some of the advanced courses, you know, these students are expected to actually conduct real research and present new ways to solve problems. And I think that students are really intrigued by the idea of having an effect on a larger community and walking away with a pretty unique set of skills.
Well, it sounds like you and your colleagues are creating a very rich educational experience, and I'm hoping that in addition to sending these folks out to do good things in their organization, we can take advantage and hire a few of them ourselves.
You know, that was one of the reasons that we saw a need for this. You know, we do incorporate a lot of students into some of the projects that we undertake here just to pursue new opportunities and new ideas. And we did find that as we were bringing them in, you know, very few of them, even at the advanced degree level, you know, had some of the more fundamental understanding and basic skills required to work in the field of forensics. And so that was very much an impetus for wanting to do this.
Excellent. So in addition to the INI websites and other websites that describe the curriculum, Chris, do you have some pointers where our listeners can learn more about just the general subject area?
Sure. Our website on the CERT website for the forensics team has quite a bit of information regarding some of the publications that we've made in the past, as well as some of the you know, achievements that we've had, as well as access to some of the curriculum and more specific topics that we've addressed.
Excellent. Well, my hat's off to you. I think you guys are definitely laying the groundwork for the profession and the improvement of the profession and also giving us an opportunity to codify and package and communicate so much of what you and your team have learned. So I really do thank you for your time today.
No, thank you very much, Julia. I was very pleased to be here.